All right, good afternoon. This is Commissioner Brooks. I'll be chairing this public hearing for CR2025-0011. Joining me is Commissioner Leslie Van Beek. This DSD staff report and any additional exhibits received by the established materials deadline have been posted on the county's website on the land use hearing page for anyone to review. Before we begin testimony, are there any declarations pertaining to this application, such as conversations or meetings outside of this hearing received by any commissioner?
Thank you, Chairman. No.
No for myself. Is there any commissioner who, for reasons of a conflict of interest, requests to be excused from participating in this specific decision?
Thank you, Chairman. No.
And no for myself. A couple housekeeping items. If everyone will check their phone to make sure it is off, and I will do the same. As chairman of this public hearing, I will maintain order by restricting inappropriate discussion or disorderly conduct, and if necessary, I ask you to step out in the event that you are disruptive or inappropriate. I don't foresee any of that happening, but those microphones are pretty sensitive above you, so if you want to have any conversation, it'd be best to step out in the hallway unless you want it to become part of the public record. Let's see, the applicant has the burden of proof. The applicant or their representative will go first today, and their testimony will be limited to 10 minutes. I don't see a whole lot of people, so maybe if we need more, you can have more. The board may have questions for the applicant, which will not count against their time. DSD staff report will be next, and the board may have questions for staff. Additional questions by the board to staff can be at any time today. Again, did anybody come in late that would like to testify and hasn't signed up yet? Okay. Let's swear them in, please.
Carla Nelson, Jay Gibbons, Debbie Kelly, Matt Wilkie, Greg Payne, Pamela Payne, Alan Mills. If I could have everybody raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you give will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you.
Mr. Wilkie, you're up, and if you and any others that come after you would be so kind to make sure the green light is on that microphone and to hold it a few inches from your, or just make sure it's a few inches away from you so we can all hear, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Good afternoon, commissioners. Good to see you again. Next slide, please.
Oh.
My name is Matt Wilkie, P.O. Box 7, Middleton, Idaho.
Thank you.
Our project site consists of approximately 6.46 acres. We are proposing three residential lots in the northeast corner of the parcel, which is 70.89 acres in total. The site is contiguous to Pheasant Landing subdivision number 1 and 2, with average lot sizes of 2.52 and 1.96 acres. The site has incredible views of Bogus Basin to the east and the Waihee Front to the south. There was a past approval for 30 residential lots on the parcel in 2006 that did not develop due to the market downturn at the time. Next slide, please. This parcel inquiry shows the parcel has one building permit available, and the email from Deb Root also confirmed that to be the case. Next slide, please. Here on the site plan, you can see we have a private road that accesses Middleton Road. We met with the highway district, and they requested the access to be curved to the south approximately 130 feet to improve site distance for southbound traffic on Middleton Road. Our average lot sizes are 2.14 acres, almost identical to Pheasant Landing next door. Next slide, please. On this slide, you can see we have 98 homes and 5 subdivisions within 1 mile of the property. The staff analysis in the staff report shows 15 subdivisions and 151 lots within a full mile. I was very conservative with my circle. Next slide, please. Here you can see the subject property is contiguous to Pheasant Landing subdivision and in close proximity to 4 other subdivisions, including one subdivision and final plat called Falcon Rim. Next slide, please. On this slide, we have a letter of support from Black Canyon Irrigation District. When the subdivision was built next door, the water delivery pipe was compromised and was no longer deliverable to the corner of the parcel. The unusable water shares were transferred to another farm owned by Nathan McKinney in 2023 to be put to good use. The water delivery for the center pivot is sourced from a different lateral and a different tap to the south. We did get a letter in opposition, well, maybe concern anyway, from Benoit, and they had concerns regarding an irrigation plan. That will be covered under the plat process if we get this rezone approved. Each parcel will be able to utilize a half acre irrigation water from the proposed domestic wells that will be drilled on site. Next slide, please. Here is a soils map showing the non-irrigated capability class of 6. We also received a letter from Richard Sims at the Canyon County Soil Conservation District stating the same and that they have no comments in the case. The letter is attached as Exhibit D.6.2 in the staff report. Next slide, please. Due to the lack of water, the site has not been cultivated over the years and weeds are naturally occurring. Unfortunately, there was a complaint from a residential neighbor in the fall of 2025 to Canyon County. Believe it or not, my client was facing a $21,265.80 charge to clean up the weeds if he did not comply within 7 days, as shown in the letter. The applicant had to run a tractor over to beat down the weeds during his busy fall harvest schedule to avoid that fine. So, next slide, please. Here you can see the before and after disking picture of the site in April of this year. Next slide, please. Here is a tractor and implement that was used. It is not economically viable to spend extra time and money on this dry corner to prevent the naturally occurring weeds that occur in the county on dry property. This is also too small to effectively graze with no water for stock to drink. Next slide, please. Here's my 2030 comp plan analysis. These following goals and policies support our request. Our development can be supported by adequate services and amenities. The fire station and emergency medical services posted approximate response times of 6 minutes in the staff report. 3 homes will not affect the school district or police in a negative way. And as far as school goes, Middleton City Council considers each home will create about 0.65 kids to the school district for load. With 3 homes, we're anticipating 1.95 kids, and if you had secondary residences coming in on that, you'd still be under 4 at 3.9 kids. So Canyon County recognizes that the residential uses are a necessary component of economic stability, and with this application, we're maintaining the rural character of Canyon County. We're providing sufficient housing without fragmenting agricultural land and natural resources. We're not splitting up a farm to create these lots. We're splitting up a dry corner. The development also does not impede aerial applicators, and we are impeding developing land with lower irrigable soil classifications. Next slide, please. We are maintaining a balance between residential and agriculture that protects the rural character. Again, we are proposing the development of a dry corner that does not fragment existing land use patterns with this application. Due to the lack of irrigation water, we're developing on poor soils class 6, and we do not interfere with viable agricultural operations in the area. Our design accommodates the topography and promotes conservation of agricultural land. We are promoting rural qualities of life that make the county distinct. As the name Canyon implies, we have beautiful views and canyons in the county that are an asset to our economic stability and residential development. Tax base for rural residential home sites not in a subdivision, tax code 12-12-8, have a net taxable value of approximately $1.5 billion in Canyon County. This does not take into account the rural residential home sites in a subdivision code 15-15 that account for an additional $1.9 billion to the net taxable value for a total of over $3.37 billion in the county for rural residential properties. Next slide, please. The subject property is definitely not viable for ag use with poor soils and no irrigation water. We are not withholding this property from a more viable use. Producing cattle and crops is not economically viable at this location, and we're not creating an impact on surrounding residential uses. Next slide, please. This map shows we're on the edge of an MP area. We do not need an MP study here because we're going to have less than 5 homes in the subdivision. There is a nitrate monitoring well just to the east that the green arrow is pointing at. The blue 1.2 milligram liter well is 215 feet deep. It seems the deeper the wells are in an area, the less nitrates they have. There is also a well monitoring static water levels a half mile to the south, as shown on that blue arrow. Next slide, please. Here are the monitoring well locations on the satellite aerial. These are both on private property. Next slide, perfect. Here is the data for the 6-inch IDWR static water level monitoring well about a half mile south of the site. It was drilled in 1968. Although the well driller didn't log the static water level on the well log in 68, we can see that the well has been very consistent in the last 10 years of monitoring. The static water level is within 1 foot of the level it was 10 years ago. And then please note that surface elevation of that wellhead of 2,505 feet. Next slide, please. Here is the data for the 6-inch IDWR nitrate monitoring well about a half mile to the east of the site. It was drilled in 1994. The static water level on the well log in 94 was 96 feet. The nitrates have been very low in this well over the past 20 years, ranging from about 1 to 1.6 milligrams a liter. 10 milligrams per liter is the maximum contaminant level set by IDW or IDEQ. Please note the surface elevation of 2545 on this well. Next slide, please. So here on this slide, we can notice there's a 40-foot surface elevation difference between these two wellheads. There's also a 40-foot static water level between them both. This indicates the static water level in the aquifer below is very consistent over a broad area, not limiting to finding veins of water, as I have experienced in other areas like Owyhee County to the south. Next slide, please. These pictures were taken in April 6, 2026. Next slide, please. This is a view looking to the south that shows the site next to Pheasant Landing Sub. Our site conforms well to the layout, almost as if it's an extension of Pheasant Landing Sub. Next slide, please. This is a view looking east or west. Next slide, please. Here's our view looking north. Next slide, please. Here's our view looking east. Next slide, please. And this is an up-close view looking east. A snow-capped mountain in the background there is Bogus Basin. It's a sought-after view in our real estate world. Next slide, please. Here we have a view looking north. We have the BLM foothills in the background there. Next slide, please. Here's a close-up of the site looking southwest. The Owyhee Range is also a desirable view. We could see it a little better if I didn't have that tree blocking my view in that picture. Next slide, please. I'd like to note that this is a conditional rezone and we are not setting precedents as Canyon County Code 7-06-07, item 3 states. So, we aren't doing an island zoning here. I respectfully request you please vote in favor of our application, and I stand for questions. Thank you.
Any questions?
Not right now.
No, okay.
Thank you.
Don't have any. Thank you.
Today I'm presenting conditional rezone case number CR 2025-0011. The property owner is Greg Payne, represented by Matt Wilkie. The applicant requests a conditional rezone of a 6.46 acre portion of the approximately 70 acre parcel from the agricultural to the rural residential zone. The request includes a development agreement restricting development to 3 buildable lots. If the request is approved, a subsequent subdivision application will be submitted. Here's the proposed site plan showing the rezone portion in the northeast section of the property, with the remainder of the property retaining agricultural zoning and being for agricultural use only. The private road access is proposed along the northern boundary of the property. The 8 conditional rezone criteria found in Canyon County Zoning Code are listed on this slide. The Planning and Zoning Commission recommended denial based on criteria 1, 2, 3, and 8. The first criteria relates to consistency with the 2030 Comprehensive Plan. The property is designated for future agricultural zoning and has not been mapped for rural residential development. The nearest rural residential designation is a half mile to the south, and Middleton's area of city impact boundary is approximately 1 mile to the south. The Planning and Zoning Commission found that the property would be in greater alignment with the plan if it were to retain agricultural zoning and not be divided. The Commission found that the request is inconsistent with 7 policies within the plan. Regarding criteria 2 through 3, the Planning and Zoning Commission found that the proposed zoning is not more appropriate than the current zoning and is incompatible with surrounding land uses. The primary land use in the vicinity is agriculture, and active crop production is occurring in all directions, except for to the east. While the request is limited to the northeast corner of the property, it will introduce an island of rural residential zoning in an area where there are few residentially zoned properties. The proposal would provide for platted lots that are smaller than the surrounding average parcel sizes. Within the 600-foot notification radius, the average parcel size is 14.6 acres compared to the proposed 2-acre lots. Regarding criteria four, the Planning and Zoning Commission found that the proposal is in character with the area. Within 1 mile of the subject property, there are 15 platted subdivisions with an average lot size of 2.32 acres. The applicant's site plan promotes the area character by placing the three rezoned residential lots adjacent to Pheasant Landing subdivision number two, where the average lot size is under 2 acres. While preserving the agriculturally productive portion of the property along Middleton and Galloway Roads, where the property borders large agricultural fields. The project will have adequate facilities. Individual septic systems are proposed. Southwest District Health commented that they have no concerns with the proposal, provided all health district requirements are met. Individual wells are proposed. The property does not have surface irrigation water available on the northeast corner, where the conditional rezone is planned. Each new home will be able to utilize the domestic exemption for no more than 13,000 gallons or a half acre of land. It should be noted that this request before you today is strictly for the conditional rezone, and if that is approved, then the applicant will need to come back with a preliminary and final plat, and all elements of Idaho code regarding irrigation will need to be met at that time. Legal access for the property off Middleton Road exists. The applicant proposes a 60-foot easement with a private road leading to the rezone portion. Private road requirements will need to be met, which will require a private road lot within the subdivision. Highway District number 4 provided comments stating that the approach location will need to provide adequate site distances for both north and southbound traffic on Middleton Road, and that an approach permit will be required for each new residence, and the approach will need to be improved with a paved apron. The Highway District and ITD had no concerns with traffic impacts. The Planning and Zoning Commission found that the request may negatively impact essential public services and facilities by increasing enrollment at Middleton Public Schools that they deemed to be over capacity. There were no comments received from the school district, police, or the fire department. Canyon County paramedics provided response times of 6.5 to 17.7 minutes, depending on the responding station. These are pictures of Middleton Road looking south and north. These photos are of the proposed rezone area. These are pictures of the portion of the property that will retain agricultural zoning and will be for only agricultural use. At the expiration of the materials deadline, a total of 1 public comment and 7 agency comments were received, which can be found in Exhibits 5 and 3D of the staff report. The Board of County Commissioners may approve or deny the conditional rezone or table or continue the hearing to a later date and request additional information. Again, the Planning and Zoning Commission has recommended denial. If the board wishes to approve the request, suggested conditions of approval can be found in the staff report on page 8 or page 38 of the board report. Here's an aerial view of the property, and I'll stand for any questions.
Chairman.
Yeah.
And so for clarification, the staff report that you generated was a recommendation of approval?
Commissioners, Commissioner Van Beek, that's correct. Staff.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you. And then on one of the maps that you showed for it that included Pheasant Landing on the east, was there any proposal to stub access from that or not?
Chairman, Commissioner Van Beek, there has not been a proposal to stub access.
Okay. Middleton, did they include this? I thought I read that in the staff report that this, in their future planning, would be residential. Is that right?
Chairman, Commissioner Van Beek, it's outside of an area of impact, but it's near the Middleton area of impact.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. And then the Planning and Zoning Commission, there's notes on the staff with the minutes that there was discussion on the secondary residences, and one of the commissioners just posed if you had a choice to approve this with a restriction on secondary residences or not have approval, then they would take the approval. I'm just confirming. A lot of this is just confirming for the record.
Chairman, Commissioner Van Beek, I would leave that to the applicant, but I believe they would rather it be approved than not. With the secondary, even if secondaries were restricted.
Okay, thank you. Those are my questions, Chairman.
Carla, if Pheasant Landing is not a rural residential, was it, how was it done? Was it a conditional use permit or how was it done?
Chairman, commissioners, Pheasant Landing was subdivided at a time before we required a rezone, so it was, I believe, with a conditional use permit at the time of maybe like 2008, 7, that time.
Okay. Only question I have. Anything else?
I don't think so. Thank you.
All right, let's go to public testimony.
Debbie Kelly.
Please just state your name and record, or name and address for the record, please.
Thank you. Name is Debbie Kelly, and my address is 10756 Galloway Road. I have no legal or anything. We are neighbors of them. We are directly to the south. If you see the two red lines, ours is the deepest. And I just am in total favor of letting these people subdivide. I don't see how it would impact three lots, how it would impact the neighborhood at all. I feel like this land is not usable, and so to be able to have homes there instead of just weeds, it would honestly make the area better. So I just want you to know I'm in favor of it and don't see any problems with it.
Thank you. Any questions?
No, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Greg Payne, 24295 Farmway Road, Caldwell. Obviously, I'm the applicant. Thank you for letting me speak today, commissioners, and hearing this case. Third-generation farmer, born and raised in Middleton. This parcel of property was purchased from my father back in 1982. We have owned the property and farmed it for the past 44 years. It was originally in four different fields, gravity irrigated with siphon tubes because it's uneven terrain. In 1997, we installed the pivot. We put three fields into one to make it more efficient for the farming purposes. The back northeast corner, the 6.4 we're talking about, it remained gravity and irrigated until Pheasant Landing subdivision was put in on a conditional use permit back in approximately 08, I believe is what I heard. One of the lots in that subdivision dug through our water easement and built their home on it. I did not own the land at the time. My father owned it. I don't know if he was being a good neighbor, whatever, but nothing ever happened. And so we ended up going dry after that. So we've idled the ground since Pheasant Landing was built. I have four kids, two of which are fourth-generation Canyon County farmers working on the farm with me. They've always lived the country life. We live in the middle of an 80-acre parcel where I currently reside. One of those would like to build on this property. So that's the reason for us being here. They were raised with ag values in the country. They do not want to live in the city. They don't want to be living in a subdivision. They've got kids coming on the way, and they would like to continue to live the country life. It'd be nice to have somebody on site out there when the power bumps and the pivot shuts off, and our main farm is about 6 miles away from there, so we have to trek out there to check power and make sure it works. If they end up living in a city subdivision, they'll be building on class one and class two soils as the cities expand on the good farm ground. So I personally feel this 6.4-acre parcel is a great opportunity to utilize dry, non-irrigated wasteland. And I stand for question.
Question?
I don't have any. Thank you.
Mr. Payne, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
In PNZ's FCOs, one of their substantiations for recommending denial was that this could potentially create hardship for farmers and agricultural operators. Being a farmer yourself and also the applicant, what is your opinion of that?
I personally don't see how it would create hardship for any of the farmers in the area. Wouldn't create hardship for me on this particular parcel because the pivot doesn't irrigate it. It hasn't been utilized for 18 years now. And it is a liability for me the way it currently sits because of Canyon County weed control. So I don't see how it would create a hardship.
Duly noted. Thank you.
Thank you.
Pamela Payne.
Hello. Thank you for your time today. My name is Pamela Payne. I live at 24295 Farmway Road in Caldwell. I am just reading a letter that was given to us from Mike Wagner. He could not make it in today. My name is Mike Wagner. I live at 25838 North Middleton Road, Middleton. My residence and base farm operation borders the subject property on the south. I farm the vast majority of farmland in this area and have for a very long time. I irrigate the majority of my operations with pivots. Pivot corners are often better utilized for letting people build and live on and hobby farm than trying to commercially farm. I personally have done this with some of my own land because pivot corners are very expensive and labor intensive to farm. As an example, you have to put hand lines in to irrigate after planting, then move the pipe to cultivate, then back in place to irrigate, move back again to spray for weeds, back in to cultivate again, back to irrigate, and finally out to harvest, which is a lot of manual labor as well as time and other things. I'm in favor of allowing the proposed three lots on this particular piece of ground, and I see it as the highest and best use of the ground. The request is in complete compatibility with the bordering issues, uses to the east, and will have no negative impacts on my operations. I and many others in the agricultural business in Canyon County have sold like-type properties and parcels that have allowed us to continue or even expand our operations. Thank you for your consideration in this matter. Mike Wagner. Do you have any questions?
I don't. Thank you for being here. Payne Thank Wagner you. Farms do a lot Thank of farming in this area, so I know that there's hundreds, if not 1,000 acres out there that is under
yes.
your stewardship.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yes, he farms quite a bit out there.
Yeah.
So. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Alan Mills.
Ellen Mills, Box 206, Middleton, Idaho. I think Pam had to take a pill to have the courage to come up here. I can see her shaking. I, on the other hand, you're probably tired of seeing me, but I want to go through the findings. I'm pretty amazed. We have eight questions to answer here. Questions 1, 2, and 3, and 8 were answered in the negative by P&Z, and yet they contradicted themselves in their own findings. So taking number 1, as I view the comp plan, and I hope you by now, having familiarity with it, can see you can make a case either way for, and if you torture it long enough, it'll confess to anything. So they used the comp plan and many comments, creating three parcels of 2 acres each would likely encourage more residential growth in an area that is predominantly agricultural. Everywhere in here, they fail to recognize Pheasant Landing is a de facto R1 zone. It was done by CUP, but it meets the criteria of R1. And so compatibility, it's not farm ground over there. It's got to be something else. And the nearest thing it could be is R1 zoning. Our own ordinance, 0706073, says designation of a parcel as CR shall not constitute lot zoning and shall not be presumptive proof that the zoning of other property adjacent to or in the vicinity of the conditionally rezoned property should be rezoned the same. That's the whole purpose for that statement, is to allow demographic property that meets the criteria to be considered for these kind of things. So number 2 is, again, approving a rezone and future 3-lot residential subdivision within the ag designation could encourage further division of the surrounding farm ground. The farm ground is different than this ground. The definition of a farm in our comp plan is a tract of land for growing crops and raising livestock and aquaculture for agriculture production. This ground doesn't meet that criteria. Number 3, again, we left out the fact that Pheasant Landing is a de facto R1 zone that tries to make it sound like it's completely surrounded only by farm ground. You have every owner of farm ground and farmer in the area in support of this application and also supporting using this type of ground for that. There was some discussion at PNG level about the water rights. Black Canyon water is a little different than the other areas. Down on the valley floor, they gave a water right to every acre. Black Canyon, very short of water. They didn't give water to all of the ground under that unit one. So there's farmers lined up, 38 applicants right now wanting more water for their ground in Black Canyon. So this water,
thank you.
This water actually went to a better purpose. It's now out on Goodson Road irrigating better ground, being put to a better use than it was trying to get it onto this property. So there's no loss of production. In fact, there's an actual increase in production by utilizing that water that way. And as far as compatibility, if we look on the map, if you look at corners, southeast corner, let me not try to hit anybody with this and see if I can, okay, maybe try to go here. It's not going to show. Southeast corner has also been approved with a CUP for two more lots, just exactly the same, only a different corner of this pivot. You have Pheasant Landing 1 and 2 and been there a long time. And so compatibility, is it more compatible with the irrigated farm ground or is it more compatible with what like-type development? I submit that it's more compatible to the property to the east than any others. And actually, you've heard enough. The school marquee superintendent is generally in favor of these types because of the PAC space that it brings, and it tends to bring non-entry level, so young kids, not so many grade schoolers and so forth, tends to be older. The high school still has capacity. They just passed, wasn't truly a bond, but they got financing for the new elementary school, so the things are changing on the school out there and for the better. And I'll sit for questions.
Chairman, just a comment, I guess, I wanted to ask. On your reference to R1, technically that qualifies on Pheasant Landing number 2. It's at 1.96, but that 0.04 acres, I think the intent of this, and we're saying the same thing, is that this is a rural residential area because the Pheasant Landing 1 would be 2.52. So. Yeah.
That's why I said R1 is because it didn't meet the threshold for RRR.
Yes, but I think the intent is there is what we're referencing. So thanks for that. I just didn't want people to think that we had and a really undersized. It falls short by a small margin on number 2. So, thank you. Those are the only comments I have, Chairman.
I don't have any questions. Thank you. That is it. Do you have anything for rebuttal, Mr. Wilkie?
I would like to state a little bit regarding secondary residences. Mr. Mills did such a fantastic job there. I don't have to say as much as I was. So, and thank you so much to Debbie Kelly. That was a surprise. I usually don't see people coming in support that I've never met before and of a case, and that was really nice to hear. Also, so when, in regards to the secondary residences, we live in a county that has pretty sparse development. I did a public records request, and Canyon County had 363 new residences issued for building permits last year. They only had 59 secondary residences issued. Now, if we compare that to the city of Caldwell, they had 1,247 new homes issued permits last year. And the city of Middleton, even though they have this moratorium with the schools in place, they had 374 new building permits issued for residential last year. So you take this monster county, Canyon County, and compare it to the city of Middleton, and the city of Middleton is still issuing more building permits than the entirety of Canyon County. Now, secondary residences are great for multifamily, for multi-generational family, I should say. And it's also a great benefit to a parcel when you go to sell that, that usually commands a quite a bit better price. There's quite a few families looking, and I just got another call today. They want to do, buy a building lot. They'd like to have four homes total. They'd like to do a family compound. It's just getting tougher and tougher to do that kind of stuff in the city, and usually in the county properties, we have kids that are in FFA and those kind of ag programs, and where you can't do that in the city. So that would be my comment on secondary residences. I don't really see that we're creating like an R1 zone, because they might have the potential in the future to add secondary there. As long as the code didn't change in the county, I've never seen a problem with that. And they can meet their private road standards. I think it's a great use for our county to stay viable and allow those. So everything else that Alan said, I concur with, and I sit for questions. Thank you.
I don't have any, Chairman.
I don't either.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions for staff?
I don't have any.
Okay. I would entertain a motion to close public testimony.
Chairman, I move that we close public testimony.
I second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. We will now deliberate.
Chairman?
Yes.
I find that this application meets our staff's recommendation for approval. I think that looking at the fact that this doesn't have water, it doesn't meet the definition of active agriculture, and that we have a fourth generational farmer, that's really not relevant in this, because they could choose to not live there or sell that at a later date if this goes to a subdivision. However, what we were trying to, and I think what's been put on the record, is that this is a well-established farming family and operation that's been continuing that generationally, and that's no different with their kids and grandkids, it looks like. So my only caveat in this would be, and one of the planning and zoning commissioners brought it out, this is a rural residential. I was intentional in asking the question about the intent of the Pheasant Landing. I think there's a reasonable expectation. The applicant could have chosen to apply for R1. Mr. Mills was involved in a secondary dwelling that was south of Nampa it was very messy, and it was about 6 years long trying to get a parcel, either a property boundary adjustment or something put back together. I think they're problematic. There was not a presentation or a need stated by the applicant for a secondary residence. I am in favor of approving this with a restriction on that. We have had people that have had specific needs for developing that, but I think it's fair that with what's been presented, the density stands at rural residential, and that's what I would be comfortable approving.
So are you stating that if we obviously split on this line of thinking on the ADUs, are you unwilling to approve?
Right.
Based on ADUs.
Yeah, the density's been set. There's an intent to create a rural residential area here. It is commensurate with what's in Pheasant Landing, and so that's what the application, how it was presented for this board to review. And it was left open-ended. I tried to ascertain. It was stated that the applicant would have to field that question. It was also stated that he would rather have it approved in the absence of additional dwelling units or secondary residences than have it denied.
Okay, well, I guess you forced the hand with that. I am in favor of going with staff's analysis on this and their criteria their substantiation for 1 through 8. I don't look at this at what the intent is or for who it's for. And with that being said, I would still find that it meets the criteria, whether it was family or not.
Agreed.
And my personal opinion, again, and I'm going to keep saying it until we actually change it, hopefully, is that ADUs should be their own separate application process and not a part of this.
And I agree with that as well. Do you want to go through the criteria, Chairman?
I don't, because I've already read them, but I mean, we can for the record.
And that's only to state for the record why the board, as Mr. Mills has indicated, there is room for subjective interpretation on the county's comprehensive plan and what this area should be. And I think there's arguments that the board can make in there that it does meet the criteria that was highlighted for denial by the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Yeah, so let's do it. Criteria 1, it's proposed conditional rezone generally consistent with the comprehensive plan.
And Chairman, to your point on a lot of these applications, things do change over time. The fact that the subdivision to the east exists as a conditional use in an agricultural area, it doesn't negate the fact that it's still a rural residential clustering of properties. And so the goal of this, if we interpret it, it's so that a rural way of life can exist with with homes and agricultural-based business operations. I don't normally like that, but I think there's an understanding from this family in particular of what this will be. I have kids in farming. It is desirable to be close to a property that you manage. In the event your pivot goes down, I think those are very viable arguments to present to the board for consideration, particularly since this is the piece of ground they're farming. And they have a vested interest. There's a lot of ground out there they're covering.
I agree, and I think it was an absolute mistake that the 2030 plan removed this from potentially being rural residential, considering the prior approval on this piece of property as it is or was. So, number one, we are in agreement that the criteria is met?
Yes.
Number two, when considering the surrounding land uses, is the proposed conditional rezone more appropriate than the current zoning designation?
And Chairman, given that we've had a definition of what this didn't come in as a non-viable parcel, but I think the fact that there is an issue with mitigating weeds, I don't find that the applicant's unwilling to do it, but it takes time. They're a niche farmer in that it's an organic farm on a lot of these crops, and to have weed contamination, I don't see that there's a lack of. I see that a better use for this parcel would be to allow something that doesn't have readily access to water, either for livestock or crops, to be repurposed. And I think Mr. Wagner's state comments that were read into the record, where he's an adjacent farmer, also provides support for stating that this is a more appropriate use as a rural residential area.
For this particular portion of the entirety of the parcel, I would agree. I would also agree with prior testimony that PNZs, FCOs, conflict with one another. I mean, they even pull it out and say, except for the northeast corner. Well, that's the corner that is the subject of this application. So, and this corner is not being used for agriculture at this time. So,
and Chairman, I think we could also provide support with the subdivision lot report on Exhibit B.2.9. That it meets or is consistent with the average lot size. That's another reason that I would support, as it's been presented, just keeping this at a little over 2 acres. And by the time you get the roads pulled out, it'll be there with Pheasant Landing.
Okay. So number two, we are in agreement that it meets the criteria?
Yes.
All right. Number three, is the proposed conditional rezone compatible with surrounding land uses?
Chairman, if we look at the conditions within 1 mile under the staff report under number two, primary zone, but other zones, it's the other zone I want to focus on, CRRR, CRR1, RRRR, RR. There are homes out in this area. They're just packaged differently because we have tried to refine and improve the process of land divisions, but this is not the first time that this will appear in this area. It already has this in the area.
I would agree with that.
And this, again, is not... It will help supplement an agricultural operation on the remaining 60 acres.
Agreed. We are we're in agreement. Criteria three is met?
Yes.
It's criteria four. Will the proposed conditional rezone negatively affect the character of the area? What measures will be implemented to mitigate impacts?
Chairman, I would submit that Mr. Wilkie did bring out some of the more desirable rural amenities in Canyon County. This has view sheds of the Owyhee Front and view sheds of the Boise Foothills. And so to keep the density low and maintain something other than weeds in that area, it fits in with the neighboring property, and it will help keep the agricultural operation for that haying or grazing field, whatever's next by, so that it's productive.
I agree. Criteria four is met. We agree?
Yes.
Yes. Criteria five. Will adequate facilities and services, including sewer, water, drainage, irrigation, and utilities, be provided to accommodate the proposed conditional rezone?
Yes. And Chairman, one of the things in this where there's a little bit longer response time, the buffering area surrounding that and that larger lot size would help mitigate some of the impact in the event that there was a fire out there. And so I would say that by the mitigation efforts that we're putting in place and the response time, which is serviceable, that this condition can be met. And that I appreciate the static water levels and the monitoring levels. Some of these I've looked at, the monitoring sites, wells are several miles instead of a half mile from that. So a lot of useful information was provided in the staff report. Thank you for that.
Okay. Criteria five, we agree, is met.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Number six, does the proposed conditional rezone require public street improvements in order to provide adequate access to and from the subject property to minimize undue interference with existing or future traffic patterns? What measures have been taken to mitigate traffic impacts? And I'm supportive of what staff is written out here.
Yes, and then the highway district that suggested they move that access point, that's a mitigation effort that they control. That's they're better suited for that, the traffic engineers, than we are. So I think that they've obviously been on site and looked at what's going to serve the best access with the safest entry and exit.
Okay, we agree. Criteria six is met?
Yes.
Yes. Criteria seven, does legal access to the subject property for the conditional rezone exist, or will it exist at the time of development? We just basically discussed that.
Yeah, can I ask a question? The 60-foot, or I'm sorry, the 20-foot private road with a 60-foot easement, that I'm just confirming that that all falls within an acceptable margin for?
Chairman, Commissioner Van Beek, it does. If the applicant elects to do an administrative land division first, it could be in an easement. If they make the whole property part of the subdivision, then it'll have to be in a private road lot, and I've expressed that to the representative. So.
Okay.
They'll come forward with what comes next.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I'm in agreement with seven that legal access exists, with more information to come.
Okay, I am as well. Condition eight. Will the proposed conditional rezone amendment impact essential public services and facilities such as schools, police, fire, and emergency medical services? What measures will be implemented to mitigate impacts?
Chairman, I appreciate Canyon County Ambulance District providing that. Canyon County Sheriff's Office they patrol all 604 square miles of Canyon County, and they are out in this area. Middleton has its own police services. We did not receive comments from that. But again, with my previous comments about maintaining the rural residential nature of this with the distance between houses on properties, I feel like this condition can be met with that in place.
Can be met with what in place?
Well, the fact that we have response times, there's distance between properties. Middleton has its own police in addition to the backup by Canyon County Sheriff's Office. Impact from the school is proposed to be minimal, and that also supports, if you have higher density, that's a greater impact on the school district. We've restricted the amount of, we get a less than 2-student impact to the school. So I think everything, the cumulative total, that we've mitigated the overall impact to public services.
Okay, I guess for me, the response times don't mean anything. A house that's 20 minutes away is not impacting an ambulance to get to it or to get to a different property, in my opinion. I guess that maybe I read this differently, but, if I was building a bunch more around the fire station to impact getting to other ones beyond those houses, that would make sense. But to me, it doesn't make sense to put in response times for, it is what it is, and the people are going to choose to live that far away from services or not. So it's more on the whoever chooses to live there. So anyways, I always have to find some gripe with these criteria. So we are in agreement that criteria 8 is met?
Yes.
Okay. And the conditions. Did you have a separate? Is that what you're pulling up? Okay.
And then, Carla, you would add something in there that prohibits the ADUs or secondary residents on that.
Chairman, Commissioner Van Beek, I could add a fifth condition to prohibit secondary residences, if that's what you wish.
Okay.
And I will go along with it because I would like to see this approved rather than not be approved because of that, so. Any other questions or comments, Commissioner?
I do not have any, Chairman. Thank you.
Well, I would entertain a motion unless you are.
Well, yes. Carla, point and shoot to your. We've got the P&Z denial. We've got your staff report. Okay. Chairman, I move that the board approve CR 2025-011 for Greg Payne, Greg and Pam Payne, finding that it meets the criteria for approval under Article 070607 of the Canyon County Zoning Ordinance with the conditions, the modified conditions by the board that will include a condition number 5, restricting secondary or additional dwelling units on this proposal.
That's sufficient for you, Colonel. Okay, I will second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right. At this time, this has been approved. Come back later for FCOs to be signed and the next stage of the process. So is there anything else that we need to take care of? Okay, this hearing is adjourned. Thank you.